Many politicians have been accused of being all show and no substance. That is that they care more about looking good and maintaining the appearance of the significance and popularity than they do about actually making a difference. That's what we call window dressing or packaging, right? That's what the people do. And to them, image is everything. It's not just limited in the political realm, but also it goes into the religion as well. Religion can be approached with a mentality of a style without substance as well. The Judaizers were the expert in that, and as Paul reminds us, the Galatians throughout the book of Galatians, and he tells these people, Galatian believers, that in his letter, and all of us as well. So holding out the cross of Jesus Christ one last time, and with one final stinging evaluation of the liberty-stealing Judaizers, the Paul not only scrolled the gospel of Jesus Christ in his letter, but seek to imprint the message in the people's heart, and reminding them the grace of Jesus Christ is the true liberty, not the Judaizers' rules and regulations. Let's stop and pray. Father, we've been studying this book, and time after time as we study, we learn that it's not what we do, it's what you have done for us. Father, in the future when we come across somebody who tell us we should do other things other above and beyond of our faith, remind this study that we may tell those people that grace is all we need. Also remind us not to come up with our own silly and false doctrine. Let us depend on you and seek your truth. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 6, verse 11, please. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. If you have a New Living Translation, you might have this verse in all capital. Do you have that? New Living Translation? It's all in cap. I thought it was a rather funny approach. It was Paul's custom for him to dictate the letters to somebody like a secretary. And then at the end, he will pick up the pen, stylus, and he will write the farewell salutation. But in this case, he simply decided it's important enough for him to write the entire paragraph. Some Bible students say that, well, the reason why he had to write large letters because he has an eye disease and he could not see well. So to see for himself, to see what he's writing, he had to write in big letters. I don't think that's the only reason. If that's the case, he would just write a farewell to the grace and peace of Jesus Christ be with you all and finish there. But he wrote the entire paragraph in his own handwriting. He was trying to tell people that it is important. This portion is, in my opinion, this last portion, verse 11 to 17 of chapter 6, is summary of entire six chapters of book of Galatians. Paul has shown them that believers living under the law and believers living under the grace are polar opposite to each other. It's not just a matter of a different doctrine, such as speaking in tongues, but it's a matter of two different way of life. One is a life of bondage, or the other one is a life of liberty. And as we learn in chapter 5, verse 1 through 12, and the flesh versus spirit, and in verse 13 through 26 in chapter 5. And now last time we learned chapter 6, verse 1 through 16, living for self or living for others. Now here is a fourth contrast. Is living for the praise of man all praise, glory of God. He's dealing with the motives. And there is no greater need of our churches today than the examination of the motives for our ministries. We know what we are doing, but do we know why do we do what we do? Good works can be spoiled by bad motives. Let me stop here and ask myself, why do we do the things in the church, the ministry work? Do we do it for God or do we do it for ourselves? It's easy for us to fall into me, yourself. And especially when you stand in front of other people, and it's easy to get into that kind of thing. By the way, don't think that Christian legalists were only limited to the main denominational, like a Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist church, hardcore people. I've seen many legalistic people in charismatic churches as well. Now I'm seeing more and more within the Calvary Chapel realm. And they are I got tired of receiving an email from one particular person that constantly talking about this and that eschatology and what the Calvary Chapel stands for. Do I agree? Yes, I do agree. But it's become too much. And he, at the end of his letter, he got a approval from the pastor, Chuck Smith. Since when do you become a mouthpiece of Pastor Chuck Smith? In my opinion, he was a self-appointed person. He became like a gospel Gestapo and trying to get the 1,400 pastors in line. So I put his name in the spam folder. Verse 12, please. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, not only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Verse 13, for not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. See, living by the grace of God isn't about the mere outward appearances, because we have nothing to add onto God's grace. You agree? And Christianity makes a difference from inside out, not from outside in. In my opinion, there are two reasons for the Judaizers' push. Number one, avoiding persecutions. Judaizers want about to join the ranks of those who persecuted for the cross of Jesus Christ. Instead, they pay the lip service to Christ. In other words, they claim to be a Christ follower, but they did not actually embrace the cross. By not condemning the idea of justification by law, and they avoid being persecuted by the zealous anti-Christian Jews. And Judaizers were more concerned about preserving their own safety than that they were about proclaiming the truth of God's grace. Now, some of you may wonder, what's the difference between the Judaizer and the anti-Christian Jews? Judaizers claimed to be Christians. They said they are Christian, they are followers of Jesus Christ, but they have another thing. They are follow Jesus Christ. You need a faith plus work system. So you gotta have a. If you are Gentile, you need to be circumcised and you need to follow the Old Testament law, doing this, doing that. Anti-Christian Jews or the Pharisees, they don't bother to claim themselves they follow Jesus Christ. They plainly tell people Jesus Christ is nothing more than con artist. Second reason is boasting in numbers. Boasting in numbers. There was a second motive behind the Judaizers' salvation by a circumcision plan. They wanted to boast in Galatian circumcision. Their own inconsistency in following the law demonstrated their devotion to the law was not the basic motivation. They themselves don't follow the Old Testament law. It's a pick and choose. But when it comes to circumcision, they demand other people to follow. Reason? So they can say, I have this many notch on my spiritual belt. All these people in Galatia were converted because of me. Get that? They were not converted by God, but converted by me. And they sought to earn the credit with the Jews by converting the Gentile Christian and forcing them to live like a Jew. Remember what the Apostle Peter said to the Jerusalem church in the book of Acts. We could not follow the laws. Why do we enforcing this law to the Gentiles? In other words, it was the numbers game in their own little world, which had nothing to do with the glory of God. Today, we have many centuries removed from that time, from the Judaizers. But we still tempt to boast in the flesh. One way we do this is a playing game, the same number games, keeping the spiritual statistics, such as how many people were baptized, how many times been baptized, and how many decisions been made, and how many rededications have been made. If somebody asks me, how many people may raise their hand at the end of our church services from the beginning, I have no idea. I never counted it. How many people have been... It's not important to God. It's not important to us. But some people do that. And they said how many made a decision, came forward at the mass crusade. What's the purpose of it? I try not to doubt their motives. But sometimes you have to wonder why you keep on counting their numbers. Whenever I received, since I'm on the, I guess their mailing list, I received a lot of pastors and leaders conference from quote-unquote big caliber chapels. The one I get tempted to respond is that comes from Honolulu, Hawaii. Yeah. Anyway, whenever I get it, I looked at the speakers. They are same lineup, basically same lineup, whether it's from Honolulu all the way to the main, Bengal, Maine. Just about same speakers. Probably they repeat the same thing what they said, and from Honolulu to the Bengal, Maine. They're expecting that nobody will come, both sides of the conferences. Bless you. And in each brochure, there's a little bio of the speakers. And every one of them says how many people attend their churches. I guess it's something to do with the ego. I'm not saying this because I'm a pastor of a small church. It's not a little church pastor's complex. Number game is one of the most fleshly games that we can play. And sadly, it's often pastors and their followers who promotes it. That kind of Christianity is external. Let me say one more time. That kind of Christianity is external. We need to aim for the hearts and the minds of people, not for the numbers and budget. When we focus on the uncompromising presentation of the gospel, then God alone gets the credit for the changed lives and whatever the numbers He decides to bring. There's no room for the boasting except Christ alone. Let's not go there. Even if the Lord chooses to make our church a little bigger, let's not get into numbers game. By the way, majority of the church growth in America is not a new convert increasing in the church like a book of Acts. It's a migration from one church to another church, usually going from small church to bigger church because big church with a fancy budget comes into the town, and guess what? Small church congregation live because it's consumer mentality church. That's what it is. Big church has this flat screen all over, and they can sit in the cafeteria, they can sit in the coffee shop, and they can sit in the lawn and still listen to it. They don't have to get involved. It's really consumer mentality, isn't it?
Country club.
Country club style, yeah. And they get up and go, never getting involved. Next verse, 14, please. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. By the way, before I go, this is a side note. As you said, Lupe said, the country club mentality. I believe that congregation takes a cue from the pastors. Because the big churches, I don't know anything about the other denomination, but the Calvary Chapel, big Calvary Chapel pastors, they usually don't get involved with the physical work. The other one, I call it cheap surgeon mentality. Tina would know about this. I know because my brother is a cheap neurosurgeon. He comes in at the last. When everybody's prepared everything, they're waiting. And the cheap surgeon come in with their hands like this, and they prepare the gloves and like this. And when he finishes, he doesn't even suture up. He just leave everything, walk out the door, and the second in command suture up, and then he leaves, okay, I'm done, you do the rest, and they walk out. Okay, do we have a Christian celebrity? But that's how I see whenever I go see the pastor's conference, there's a Christian celebrities. No, let me rephrase it, Calvary Chapel celebrities. Is engraved into the people's brain so hard, and the other pastors like me from Timbuktu, nobody knows that I'm alive, somehow we are supposed to bow down to their path. That's a typical, and it's become sad. So that's another reason why I do not go to the pastor's conference. And you are thinking, wow, he really has a complex. No, I do not have a complex for that thing. I don't want to waste my money. I don't want to waste our church's money in that kind of place. Christianity isn't about what or how we can do to approach God. That's what the other cults, other religions, all cults do to approach their deities. And somehow, by approaching their deities, they can please them, and so they would not end up in the hot water. But for Christianity, it is about what God has done for us. When all the other religions said, do this, do this, do this, and Jesus Christ said, it is done, it is finished. He chose us, and we didn't choose Him. As a matter of fact, we were His enemies. He sent His only begotten Son to us to give us new life. It is His power, His grace, and keep us secure in our salvation. We have nothing to boast about except the Lord Jesus Christ. Every ounce of credit for who we are and for the hope that we have goes to our Savior. Do you know our church theme verse? Any of you know the church theme verse? No, that's not a verse, that's a motto. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. Knowing Jesus and making Him known came out of from this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Okay, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ, Him crucified. Amen? The world is obvious. It's a society of unbelievers. When before we come to know Jesus Christ, we were desperate to try, desperate to be a part of that in-group. Didn't we not? But now, we don't want to be in that group. We don't care what the world thinks or says of us or does to us. That includes what other religion demands, that what we should do to be saved. We trust God's way, not man's way. We believe that Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man come unto the Father but through me. Paul keep coming back to the cross. Jesus Christ, do you know Jesus Christ mentioned and in his reference 45 times in the book of Galatians? 45 times. That's one third of the entire book mentioned his name. Judea is boasted about in circumcision, but Paul boasted in crucifixion and the risen Savior. And Jesus was glorified on the cross. Does it mean that Paul was trying to glorify the Roman brutal execution tools? No. What happened on the cross, that's the things he's trying to glorify. I find two reasons. Number one, Paul knew the person of the cross. Paul knew the person of the cross. Paul was the top persecutor against the church until he met the Lord Jesus on the way to Damascus. The more he spent his time with Jesus Christ, the better he got to know the Savior. And all the knowledge of the Old Testament Paul had in his head, it started to sink down about a foot down to his heart. And all of a sudden, it started to make sense. Then he realized he followed the letters of the sacrificial law in the book of Leviticus. But he knew every leaf on that tree. But he missed the entire forest. What's that forest for? It's pointing to the one direction. One direction only, that's Jesus Christ. Remember when we studied the book of Leviticus, I told you guys, book of Leviticus is a portrait of Jesus Christ. So he finally sunk to his heart, and then, but Judaizer did not know him like the majority of the world population by their own choice. Second reason, Paul knew the heart, Paul knew the power of the cross. Once highly educated and zealous Jewish rabbi who considered the doctrine of sacrifice on the cross is a ludicrous and utter stupidity. But now he experienced the power of the cross and became Paul the Apostle. From the Saul of Tarsus, Saul of practically next in line for the Sanhedrin and his high priest, now he became Paul the Apostle. The cross created to be the stumbling block to him, used to be a stumbling block to him, now is the solid foundation stone for his message. Jesus Christ died for our sins. For Paul, the cross meant liberty from himself, from flesh, and from the flesh and from the world. As we yield to Jesus Christ, we have the victory over the world and flesh. That's why he said, die to yourself, pick up your cross, denying our carnal desires. The law appealed to the human ego, encouraged the flesh to work. That's why the Judaizers were so after that conversion. And the world does not care if we are religious as long as we do not have a Jesus in our heart. You can talk about God all you want in front of people. They don't have a problem. But as soon as you mention the name of Jesus Christ, that's a fighting word. In fact, the world approves all the other religion apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, last two verses, please. And as many as work according to this rule, note that word rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, with your spirit. Amen. Those who walk according to this rule are those who accept the gospel and live by this principle. Rule, the word rule in Greek is a canon. Kanon, I guess. Kanon, to be exact. And it literally means measuring rod. The canon of a scripture, the Bible we have today, was assembled by the certain criteria and measuring rod of authenticity. The Bible is also our canon in that it provides God's standard for living. It is also standard against which all other teaching is measured. Paul is using the word here to apply the to uncompromising truth of the gospel of grace. The only way, can I change the slide? The only way to receive God's mercy is through His grace. The law brings only His judgment. Law is like a mirror. It does not make us ugly. It only shows we are ugly spiritually without Jesus Christ. Am I making sense? Law simply points us to Jesus Christ. When we look not only His epistle, but also all the scripture of the gospel with its cries, stands out the defining doctrine of the true Christianity. Two applications. Number one, it is God's power and His grace that keep us secure in our salvation. We have nothing to boast about except the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have to boast, we are sinners, could not be saved, but we are saved by the grace of God. What else can we boast? Second application, the only way to receive God's mercy is through His grace. And the law brings only His judgment without Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's stand up and pray. Father, as we finish this book, remind us it's not about the rules and regulations. It's not about what we can do. It's what Jesus has done. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.